Bible here, and we are finishing the book of Revelation. And I worked it out so that we would finish this book today, because everything that happens in the book of Revelation, we know, happens only because Jesus Christ died and rose again. There, early on in the book, there's a section where the Lord God is holding a scroll, sitting on the throne, and it says, "No one in heaven, no one on earth, and no one under the earth had the power to open that scroll." And then John was weeping because he knew that scroll meant all the promises that God had intended for his people, and all the things that were going to unfold and needed to unfold, and they weren't able to happen. And John was weeping bitterly. And then he said, "Then I saw a lamb that looked like he'd been slain, rising out of the middle of the throne." And he comes out, and of course, it's our Lord Jesus Christ. And he has the power, he has the ability to open the scroll. He has the ability to bring about God's plan. And that's what we see in the book of Revelation, is the plan of God unfolding. Some of it is pretty hard to hear, and I gave that to most of our congregation in the weeks and months past. And we heard about, you know, how evil the world is and how God is going to put an end to this world and how he is going to ultimately bring about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And this is where we are in the last two chapters. He said, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and they and be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' So he who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.'" This is the most powerful, wonderful promise of God. We talk about heaven, and I don't know that we think about what it is. I remember as a kid watching cartoons and little characters sitting on clouds playing harps, you know. No, the kingdom of God is much more than that. The kingdom of God will come and replace everything that's old. The first thing that we've seen, and we saw this in the later chapters of Revelation, that the entire world system, the world system that was represented by beasts, by a harlot, and serpents, and the dragon, and all the evil that was in the world, all of that was taken up like a big stone, like a millstone, he said, and thrown down into the sea. And he said, that's how the world is going to fall. That's how Babylon is going to go down. The first is taken away. It had passed away. But now he has the second, the kingdom of God rising up. The city of God. He says it's like a bride waiting for the groom, right? Now, the thing about that, the way it's stated is that this is something that has been in God's heart from before the beginning, before creation. God's desire for his people is that they would live in a holy place, in a holy planet, that they would be with him forever, that they would walk with him and talk with him and have all these awesome, you know, things going on in their heart, in their lives. The whole of the planet would be a temple. The whole of the planet would be a temple. That's what God intended the Garden of Eden to be. You know, he put man and woman in the garden, and they were supposed to, you know, take care of the garden, and they were supposed to live before God. And everything they did was a sacred practice. Everything that they did, that's the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of heaven, whatever work we do, it is better than the finest worship we've ever experienced here. If we're tilling soil, and I don't know if we'll do that, but if we're tilling soil, it will be a joyous, awesome event. Why? Because God is there with us, and the beauty of it and the glory of it, and it will just be awesome no matter what you do. Because he says what he's going to do, he is going to tabernacle. He is going to cover his people. The word tabernacle is actually what it says when it says that, you know, God will dwell with them or live with them. It literally says tabernacle. It's like God is a tent that covers over his people. Think about a world. Think about a world where God covers everything. Not no sin, no death, no sorrow. All the evil of this world, all the bad news. There won't be any bad news. There's only good news. You know, we will have CNN and Fox News, they're out of business because there's only good news. There's only joy because God has tabernacled his planet, has tabernacled his people. And he says, I will be their God and they will be my people. There's no more room for crying. And, you know, if you live at all on this planet long enough, you know, crying is very much a part of this world. There's no more time for death. Think about just the idea that in the kingdom of heaven, death will not exist. Not in us, not in plants, not in anything. Everything that is will be, just like God is and will be, right? That there's no more crying, there's no more death, there's no more pain. Because the old things that we talked about in weeks before have been removed and something new takes its place. I want to be there. I want to be there. And again, we must always remember, how is it possible? How is it possible? Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead. And those who believe in him and hold on to his testimony, they are the ones who are his people. Listen. He says, then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all of this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Here's the promise of God. Now he says again, I am the Alpha and the Omega. We talked about this. The Alpha means, you know, before there was a beginning, there was God. And God said, the first line in Genesis, in the beginning, God created. All that exists, God created it. He's the Alpha. He's the creator. He's the one that brought this world into existence. He didn't turn it into what it is. We did that. Our sin did that. But God is the Alpha. He's also the Omega. He's the end. He's the one. Jesus said, I don't know when the hour is. I don't know when the day is. Only the Father knows. He says, I'm the Omega. I know when it's going to end. I know how it's going to end. And he has told us how this entire planet and all the things that go with it, the worldly system, the beasts and the harlot and the dragon and all the things that are there, Satan and all the demons and all that stuff, it's all going away. God's got to get rid of that before he has the kingdom of heaven. He is the Alpha and the Omega. And he says to anyone who is thirsty, and we talked about this in Sunday school, very good class, Sunday school, 10 o'clock, Sunday morning, across the street, there's coffee and everything, right? In Sunday school, we were talking about the idea of being thirsty. And he says, anyone who's thirsty, not like I need a drink of water, thirsty like I need God in my life, thirsty like I need to get my heart and my life in better shape than what it is. Thirsty like I need God. I need Jesus. I need the Holy Spirit. Thirsty like I need the Word of God in my mind and in my heart so I can do the things that God wants me to do. Thirsty. He says, anyone who is thirsty, he says, I'm going to let you drink and I'm not going to charge you for it. There's a God for you. You know, if some entrepreneur on this planet had the water of life, right? Had that gift. You think they'd give it to us for free? Oh no, there'd be a heavy, heavy price for that. But not with Almighty God. God says, all you have to do is want to be with me. All you have to do is want to be mine and have a thirst for me, a thirst for righteousness, a thirst for holiness, a thirst for living with God. And he says, I'll give it to you. And you will be able not just to come into the city, not just to inhabit that beautiful new planet called heaven. You live there as a son. You're loved and adopted into the very family of Jesus Christ. He is your brother. Jesus Christ, my brother. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but my brother, because God adopts me into the family. These are awesome, precious promises. And I have to say, that's my hope. My hope is to be engaged with those. But not everybody, listen to me, not everybody, not everyone gets to receive those promises. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, pharmakia is the Greek word. Means using drugs to change your mind, to change your soul, right? Magic arts, pharmakia. Idolaters and all liars. The cowardly, unbelieving, vile, murderers, sexually immoral. Those who practice pharmakia. Our government is passing out pills like crazy to people. And idolaters and all liars. Their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. That is the second death. And I warn people all the time, listen, I've done a lot of funerals. I've been around a lot of people die, and everybody wants to say, oh, they're better off. And I've got news for you. Not everybody is better off. Not everybody is better off. You need to believe in Jesus Christ. You need to call on Jesus Christ. You need to be thirsty for Jesus Christ, for righteousness, for holiness, to be a child of God. I wish I could tell you that you know, everybody, no matter what, gets in, but that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. We need to sit down and behave. Yeah, okay. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain, great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. And it shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of precious jewel, like jasper, like clear as crystal. It had high great wall and 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates. And on the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And there were three gates on the east, and three on the north, and three on the south, and three on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The people of God. The city belongs to the people of God. 12 apostles, 12 Old Testament, you know, patriarchs, the people of God. Those are the ones who get to inhabit, and they're the city was made for them. The city is theirs. It's not just, again, for anybody. It's for those who belong to God, for those who hunger and thirst after righteousness and holiness, those who hold on to the Word of God, those who hold on to the testimony of Jesus. See, Jesus died. Jesus rose again. I believe that when Jesus died, he took my sins with him and he destroyed them so that God will never remember them again. And I believe when Jesus rose again from the dead, he gave me power to live a new life. He gave me power to become a different person, right? See, I believe in Jesus. Those are the people that that city belongs to. And then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, and down the middle of the great street of the city, and on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city. and the servants will serve him, and they will see his face, and the name and his name will be written on their foreheads. There will be no more night. There will be no need of light or a lamp or of the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Again, the angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of this prophecy in this book." Remember when we started Revelation, it came with a promise. He says, "Blessed are those who keep this message in their heart." The message is very simple. Everything in this world is going away. Everything that people put their hope and trust in outside of God in this world is going to disappear. It's going to be destroyed. Every power, every authority, every building, every part of it. All of the things that are dedicated to evil and sin, all the systems that uphold that, they're going to go away. And God is going to come for his who hold on to him, who believe in him and trust in him, even while they live in a broken world, right? And he is going to give them this beautiful city, this great place. There's going to be healing. There's going to be life. There's going to be joy. There's going to be peace. There's going to be Almighty God tabernacling over us. And he says, then he told me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does what's right continue to do what's right. Let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they might have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, sexual immorality, murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let him who hears say, 'Come.' Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life." God is holding out life to us constantly, not just on Easter, but always. Always holding out life. Always holding out grace. Always like the prodigal's father, waiting for them to return, waiting for them to come, waiting to say, "Lord God, I'm thirsty. Lord God, I need you. Lord God, I want you in my life." Let me pray with you. Father, we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that any heart that will turn to you in this hour and seriously and sincerely say, "Mighty God, heal my life. Mighty God, be there with me. Help me, God, to get away from sin. Help me to put aside the things that are bringing me to death. Help me, Almighty God, to call on Jesus and give me life. Help me, Lord God, for I am thirsty. I am thirsty for you, O Lord. I long to be with you. I long to walk with you. I long to be holy as you are holy, to be righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. I long, Almighty God, to be your child, to be your son, be your daughter, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus for your grace. We pray, Lord, that you will hear every heart, everyone that turns to you, Father, and that they will begin to drink the grace and the power that comes from Jesus Christ. Amen.